It's been more than 6 months since the Supreme Court upheld the use of affirmative action in college admissions. That ruling has cast the spotlight on another college admissions policy. So-called legacy programs give the children or grandchildren of alumni an advantage in making the cut. These programs are common, especially in highly selective schools.
At Notre Dame, 57% of the legacies get in, compared with 31% overall. Harvard admits 40% of legacy applicants, compared with 11% of applicants overall. The debate over affirmative action has raised new questions about legacy programs because the overwhelming proportion of students who benefit from them are white. A recent example, the Houston Chronicle revealed that Texas A&M University, for the past 2 years, had admitted hundreds of white freshmen who might have been rejected if not for the fact that a family member had attended the school. Last week, Texas A&M President Robert Gates decided to drop the legacy program. We spoke with him earlier today, and he says the change will level the playing field.
We admit about 6,500 to 7,000 freshmen every fall. Three-quarters of those young people are admitted on an automatic basis. We are required to take any student if they score 1,300 on their SATs and are in the top 10% of their class. So we really have a choice in putting together what this university, what we think it ought to look like, with only about a quarter of the freshman class. We also face a situation here in Texas where there is a great need for us to enroll more qualified students of color, primarily African Americans and Hispanics. So as we tried to shape that one quarter of the freshman class, it seemed to us that it was necessary to move to a policy where we could evaluate every student on an individual basis. So it was in that context that we decided to eliminate the legacy policy.
Legacies have come under much greater scrutiny following a series of court rulings on the constitutionality of affirmative action. Did you, in looking at this program, decide that it was inconsistent or perhaps even unfair to grant this kind of special preference to the sons and daughters of alumni and not extend the same kind of preference to students on the basis of skin color or racial background?
Well, I think that we felt that it really was the first of what you said. We felt it was inconsistent in principle that if we are going to move toward a basis of individual merit, it had to be across the board. In essence, either you have an admissions policy based on evaluating each individual student on his or her own qualities, the whole person, if you will, or you don't. And so there really was not room for an exception in the form of legacy.
You know, the primary criticism of affirmative action programs is that they grant special preference to students who are not fully qualified simply on the basis of their skin color. Do legacies essentially do the same thing for the sons and daughters of alumni?
Well, if you had two students who had, in a hypothetical world, you had two students who had exactly the same credentials, if you will, then either legacy or affirmative action would be giving the nod to whichever student fell in whichever category, and we just feel that each of these kids ought to be evaluated on the same basis. The way I've put it is I want every student here at A&M to be able to look at every other student and know that he or she got in on the same basis of individual merit and quality.
Now, the question of legacies came into the spotlight at Texas A&M because the Houston Chronicle conducted an investigation in which they found that 300 white students were admitted to the university because of their family ties. If not for that investigation, would you have headed in this direction of eliminating the program?
Well, I wouldn't call it an investigation since we gave them the numbers. I think that we had not taken a close look at it. Frankly, I think the numbers were pretty small. We were headed in the direction of making this decision well before the newspaper stories of last week. It was clear from my meetings with students and faculty before the holidays and with lawmakers in Austin that this inconsistency needed to be addressed. So when we all returned from the holidays, we were moving in the direction of changing this policy anyway.
And what are you hearing from your alumni community?
Well, I would say that by far the majority of the response we've gotten is along the lines of disappointment but understanding. I think that a lot of people felt that and feel that that legacy was important in terms of the nature of the Aggie family, but at the same time also understand and believe in an admissions policy based on individual merit, and understand that legacy in that context is inconsistent and therefore shouldn't stand.
This decision has sort of fueled a national debate on legacies, and I'm wondering what kind of problem this presents for colleges and universities, you know, well beyond Texas.
I think that every university has to address these kinds of issues in terms of its own history and culture and circumstances. For example, I think that public universities probably need to deal with it differently than private universities, because the basis of funding and the basis of political support is completely different. That's why I think any kind of legislation dealing with this issue would be a terrible mistake. I think that these kinds of policies, one size doesn't fit all, and I think that they ought to be formulated by each university in the context of what will achieve its own objectives best.
Mr. Gates, thank you so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
Robert Gates is the president of Texas A&M University. He spoke to us from his office in College Station, Texas.